Well, I'm excited to be here this morning. I know it's not the greatest circumstances, but personally, Tracy, at the first, she heard her grandfather had a heart attack. She took it quite hard, always with the thought, he's not saved. He's not saved. And we heard he was getting better. And we were praying. And then she just heard last Wednesday, we were in church, she got the call, and she really took it hard then. And I've been praying for her to receive boldness. I says, you got to talk to him. You got to share. You don't have to be, the Bible says it doesn't have to be a big, long, drawn-out prayer for him to receive Jesus. The Bible says that they that call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Amen? I said, he may not be able to say a lot, but he did say a prayer with her. And we had talked about it at the lunchtime before I went back to work. And she says, I'm going to call him. So she called him, and I got the word at work. She called me. She says, you could tell she was crying, but it was a different cry. It was a cry of joy. And she says, well, I asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus, and he says, and the words she said sounded exactly what he would say. I surely do. And from there, she says, I want you to believe in your heart and pray this prayer. She didn't have a long prayer, but she prayed the sinner's prayer with him, and he repeated it all. And she says, you know what? She says, you're saved. You're going to heaven. It's easy as that. And the next day is when we got the word that he passed on. And she heard she passed on. She was a bit shaken, but she was at work. And when I picked her up at work, she was good. I'll say she says, I don't know, but I don't have no sorrow. I go, that's the peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Amen. We didn't lose anybody. There's a difference. I say at every funeral, and where I'm from, I do 75% of the funerals. And some you don't know if they're saved or not, but you come to the place where you say, with believers, we haven't lost anyone. There's a difference between the word lost and loss, L-O-S-S. Lost is, I lost something, I can never regain it back. I don't know where it is. But loss means separated for a time. Amen? We may be at loss, L-O-S-S, only separated for a time. But there will be a day we'll meet again. Amen? Doesn't that give you great joy? Oh, I can't wait for that day. Amen? But how many know there's a work to be done now? Amen? We can always focus on that day. And that will be a glorious day. And we should share on that day and let people know what's going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, there is a work to be done today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are you excited this morning? Are you awake? Amen. I'm ready to go. All right? There's something that's happened since when I started out. I stretched to go 10 hours. I mean, I had all my words, everything written down, and I'd read it all, and next thing you know, it's only 10 minutes. And I'd be going, and I'd just do that just to try to stretch it out so it could go a little bit longer. But now I find myself going 2 hours easily. So are you ready? Are you settled? Amen? I'm watching the clock. I'll try to have you out here on a reasonable time. I won't go 2 hours. Amen and amen. I'm going to try to go through something quite quickly here. When you tithe this morning, why did you do that? Well, let's open up in prayer before we go on. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and for what you're about to do. I thank you for the blessing in this place. I thank you for the blessing that maketh rich and addeth, and he addeth no sorrow to it. That, Father God, as we receive today the word, that, Father God, the sower soweth the word, and, Father God, I know I'm sowing into fertile ground. And Father, I thank you, Lord, as we receive the word, the seed of the word, that it may come to fruition, manifestation in our lives, in our spirits. So, Father God, that as we have an outlook of faith, all around about us, Father God, we start to see things turn around in our lives, and we start to see things that, and we start to call those things which be not as though they were, based upon your word. And Father God, we thank you for all that you're doing and everything that you're doing, about to do, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I said I want to speak down here, but I'll be running back and forth in a moment. But I want to ask you a question. Why did you give this morning when we had tithes and offerings? What was that all about? You know, the world kind of looks at you and thinks you're crazy. You go to church, you worship, and you sing songs about a God, and all these things. And then all on top of that, you take a portion of what you receive as your income and you give it. You just give it, and the world sees it as, to a certain extent, throwing it away. But why did you come here today and you gave in that opportunity of giving? That opportunity of faith. Did you know your giving is a faith act? You're doing it by faith. You don't know what it means, but to a certain extent, and I'm going to share this in a moment, but you just knew it was a good thing to do. You were taught somewhere that it was a good thing to do. But we come to the place now where giving starts to, I start to share, you know, a lot of times we come, we just give into the offering, and a lot of times we're just giving. That's all. It's kind of just leaving our hand. But I come to the place where I says, why not, based upon the word, what God is teaching us, make your money work for you? Amen? Amen. How many know the tithe that says, and I'm not going to share so much on the tithe today, but it says the tithe that says that he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith. This is the only place God says, prove me if I will not bless your socks off. He says, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That sounds pretty good. I like that. You know, a lot of times people get upset because preachers talk about money in church. But how many times do you go to your portfolio, your financial person in the world, and they start to talk to you about money, and you don't get upset at all? Usually you got to pay for them to talk to you about it. But when a preacher comes to you, he's not trying to get it from you, but by the word of God, we're trying to get it to you. Amen? Amen. So as a First Nations preacher, there's some things I've been really praying about. And I says, what is the key to turn First Nations around from where they are, seeing government as a source, seeing man as a source, and even going beyond that in traditional ways, looking at the earth as a source? We need to come to the place where the key to the full turnaround is understanding that God is your source. I know Pastor Steve has been sharing on grace for the last little while. He was at our church and shared upon it. And I was listening to Kenneth Copeland talk about grace, and he said, why are you working for your money? Why do you think you got to earn? Did you have to earn salvation? No. Did you have to earn the Holy Spirit? No, you received him. He was free. He says, so why do you have to earn your money? Isn't God big enough to supply your needs according to his riches and glory? He said, and then he goes on to say, he says, I didn't say you didn't have to work. What is, I work secular, I work in a job on the First Nation. What is that job? It's an assignment. I'm there showing forth the glory of God every day. You're there on the job showing forth the glory of God every day. And what does God do while you're showing forth the glory of God on that job? He says, I will minister seed to the sower. That money that comes in becomes seed. And a lot of times, like myself, I love to eat my seed. I heard a minister say before, when he was a young boy, he had a peanut. You know, a peanut. And he would go, and he says he lived on a peanut plantation, he said. And he would go and he would dig a hole and he'd plant that peanut in there and you know, and watch it for a day. Come back the next day, nothing. Come back the next day, nothing. Come back the next day, nothing. So then finally he just got tired of it. He's just a little boy. So he would dig it back up and look at that seed, that peanut seed, and look at it and nothing. So he just ate it. How many know that's what we do a lot of times? You know, we could be, God has put principles of faith in his word for us to overcome, to be successful, to be blessed. Because I say this all the time, you are blessed to be a blessing. And I'm going to start off today's message with this thought. I challenge our church now. I say, you know what? We may be on a First Nation. And many of society sees First Nations as at the low, at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, at the lower level. But we are changing things around. I says, why is it that we as believers worldwide, why is it, you know, sometimes we come to the place where we want to help, but we can't because we don't have it? I says, wouldn't it be great if we come to the place where we can buy somebody a brand new car? Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen? Think how that would feel. I mean, you buy somebody a meal, that feels great in itself. But then you're so blessed that God wants you blessed that he tells you, he says, you're hearing from the Lord and you're walking in his ways. And now he says, go buy that person. That person it has been sowing seed. They've been really believing in me. Now I'm going to use you as the answer on the earth to bless them because God wants to flow his blessing through you into this world. Amen? He says, buy them a new house. Now we get the mentality, you know, if it's just me, mom, sister, brother, us four no more, we're good. How many know that's a selfish thought? That is a selfish thought because God wants, he sent Jesus into this earth for this entire world. Now who are you? You are the body of Christ in being enabled to be the blessing to bless. Amen. Amen? Amen. It's over there. But can we get that mentality? Start to change our thinking from a small mentality that God wants me blessed. Amen? Amen. Yeah, Pastor, I don't really like this money talk. You know, it hasn't worked for me. Well, let's understand the word because faith needs to arise, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we get into the word of God, we start to understand more about what God is doing. There's understanding. Like I said, you go to a tax person to get your taxes done. Why? Because you don't understand it. The majority of us, we don't understand it. So I go get my taxes done. We do all that. Tracy does, and we're just lumped in with everything. And but she does that, and. We don't understand it. Next thing you know, she gets a refund or something, and hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, but when we understand, we start to do things ourselves. How many remember when microwaves first came out? That's kind of dating myself. But when microwaves first came out, we put an egg in there and saw, you know, put it on for 10 minutes. Let's see what happens. And we blow up an egg. And we say, well, that's not going to work. We can't cook an egg that way. Let's put in the coffee with the spoon in it. Let's see what happens. And things catch fire. And because we didn't understand, it was something new. But when we get the word of God, when we start to study the word of God, it brings understanding. God has shared with us, our church at the beginning of this year, the first quarter, January, February, March. We are just speaking on things financial. For these three months. And we have talked on this, what I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to try to do this really quick because this is just my intro. But we come to the place where I said, God is going to do something great. He's about to do something great. But we got to put the thinking, the worry, whatever you want to think, away from money. We got to know all this before we step out in faith in what God wants us to do and not even have a thought of money because we are tithers, we are sowers, and God will do the rest. Amen? Amen. God wants you blessed. Now, let's go to provision, understanding provision for a second. I made this statement, and every believer lives in provision. And this statement will seem kind of a negative statement if you take it the wrong way. But every believer lives in the provision of God, understanding that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It doesn't mean how big the need is. How many know a multi-million dollar ministry still have a need? And they still base God on understanding that scripture, that God's going to supply their need. But it comes to the place where God wants you to go beyond provision to abundance. And I made this understanding that provision is the lowest form of abundance, but the highest form of mercy. God wants to provide for you. That's a merciful God. Sometimes we think we can do it. We try to do it all on ourselves, but God steps in and says, here, just take it. Just take it. You know, let me supply your needs. Just take it. But then in his word, he starts to teach us on how to go, live in provision, but also go to the next level that we never go beyond provision. We're always in provision, but we go to the place of abundance, where now the blessing starts to come in and you don't have want of anything. Now God uses you. I like this illustration I heard from Jerry Savelle. He says this. He says, it's one thing. Let me say this before I go there. I was at a meeting and I was sharing just like this. And I says, you know, we want to be a blessing and stuff like that. And this another gentleman got up after me, another pastor. And he says, yes, we got to be the blessing. And he kind of wanted to go where I was going, but I could really tell where his source was. He says, we have businessmen that want to come and write checks and want to do things for us. And he's talking about all these businessmen. And I'm kind of thinking, where's his source? Take away the businessman and where is his source? Now, the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, pressed good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. But how many know God didn't really want you to put a face to the men who will give into your bosom? We start to look at people, kind of look them over. Let's see who has money here. And we kind of try to pull towards that person. Hey, are you feeling something, brother? That's wrong thinking. But it comes down to the man's whole thought, whole understanding was these guys will write us checks. They want to help and stuff like that. But he got it all wrong. See, understand, it's one thing to receive the check. That's a blessing in itself. How many love that? Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I can feel the anointing on that. But how many know it's even greater to write the check? The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. Turn with me in Genesis. Let's start to look at the blessing of the Lord. And I want to try to keep your interest today. As we start to understand the blessing of the Lord. Now, as you're turning to Genesis chapter 1, I want to share this first. And a lot of times we'll hear this scripture. It's in two of the Gospels. It says in Matthew 6:26. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. He says, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father, Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they? In Luke 12:24, it says the same thing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor they reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? How many have seen a blinged out bird lately? Amen. Eh? How many seen a really prosperous bird? You know, he don't have to fly. He's taking jets from tree to tree. Man, that's a blinged out bird. I mean, he's wearing some chains and some diamonds, and that bird is blinged out. No, the birds are not blinged out. Why not? Well, they are provided for. Amen. The birds are provided. They still have to go and forage and get their food. The worms don't crawl up to their nest. No, they go and get it. They work, and they get it. They're blessed. But then we understand that they don't. Sow nor they reap, and they don't have anything set up in barns because they don't sow and reap. They are provided for, but they're not in abundance. Why? Because man was the only being God created to live in abundance. Amen, Pastor Murray. That sounds good. Woo! I like that. I like that. God loves me so much, he wants to provide, but he wants me to go beyond and be a blessing. I think that's good stuff. I think that's good stuff. Now let's focus on a blessing. Genesis 1 verse 28. Let's understand the blessing of the Lord. God just created, or this is before God created Adam and Eve, the spirit, before he created their body. But he already blessed them even before they became a living body. But he blessed them, the real them, the spirit. That's who you are. You're a spirit with a body. When we leave this earth, our body is still here, but our spirit is still alive. But he says in Genesis chapter 1, 28, he blessed them. Adam and Eve, he blessed them. He says, and God blessed them. He says, and God said unto them, what? This is the blessing right here. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish, subdue, and I just have it put down, and have dominion. You can read the full verse. He says, be fruitful. This is abundance. How many know to be fruitful is abundance? And he says, he goes on, he says, multiply, that's increase. And he says to replenish. Replenish, when I started to study that, is to restore and to recover. How many know when you're running a long distance, or back in your youth, or whenever you do, when you used to run, because I don't run anymore, that was back in my youth, but at the finish line, man, was I tired. But then you get, you know, you kind of get the Gatorade, ding, and you drink the Gatorade, you're replenished, right? You feel, man, all those whatever they throw in Gatorade, you feel better, you're replenished, you're restored, you're not huffing and puffing, you know, I made it, I finished. No, you drink, you rest, and you're back to normal. Well, God wants to restore. This is the blessing. The blessing is not just money. We kind of look at these, because we kind of look at the scripture, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It maketh rich. The blessing makes rich. But how many know in your body you could be in lack of healing? In your body you could be without healing, but you want to be rich in healing, divine healing. You want to be rich in your family, in society. You want to be prosperous in all these areas. Prosperity is health, wealth, and success in all areas. Amen? You can have all the money in the world and be dying of a cancer, and nothing can help you. You're buying the best doctors. They're trying to do all they can. We don't speak against doctors. We're talking about healing. But we come to the place where I want to be prosperous in health. I want to be prosperous in my bank account. I want to be prosperous in my family. I want the love of God in my family. I want to be prosperous in every aspect, in my job, in my coworkers. I want to be able to share and to be a blessing to them. Amen? Amen. So he goes on to say, this is to be fruitful, that's abundance, to multiply, that's increase, and to replenish, that's to restore and recover. Are you ready to get into some scripture now? It's going to get exciting in just a moment. I'm going to try to get through this in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. Bear with me. Now, let's go over some of this. The blessing. What is the blessing connection? We understand that God created the blessing. And in Genesis 1:28, God blessed Adam and Eve. The blessing of the Lord was upon them until they gave up their inheritance through deception. It was stolen from Satan. After that, God needed to get the blessing back on the earth. The earth was judged. There was a flood. But Noah built an ark and carried the animals two by two. And his family. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I want to show you the lineage of the blessing. Now, everything was destroyed except for Noah. And it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, what? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So there was judgment upon the earth, and the blessing left the earth. But now God needed to get the blessing back on the earth. So he blessed Noah. And Noah, and when we start to get an understanding of the lineage of the blessing, we understand that the blessing was transferable. The blessing was something of importance that Jacob would steal it from his brother Esau. That's right. But he would steal the blessing. Remember where he put the animal on his self, and his father couldn't see, and then the father blessed him, and he took the blessing and he ran. But the blessing was of something of an importance that they would even steal for it. But now, let's just get back on track. God is putting the blessing back on the earth. I have written here, Noah and his sons, they were to go out and spread the blessing. Two of them did not. Ham and Japheth stayed in Shinar. That the Shinar means the place of shaken out. Here, I'm going to share with you what Shinar is. When the flood happened, there was in the Babylonian area, there was a place called the Plains of Shinar. It was the lowest point where they would say that when all the floods receded, all the bones of those that have died in the flood, they all went to one place, the Valley of Shinar. And this is where they started to build the Tower of Babel. And this is where, actually, the two sons of Noah, the two sons where, I just said their names, Ham and Japheth, they created the Babylonian way of commerce, which the world is built on today. Selling, purchasing, and receiving. Buying, and so on. A change of money. This is where it was created. This just means they trusted in their own ability and not the blessing. But Shem, the third son, you can read in Genesis 10 that Shem's family was set apart. And I believe they were separated because of the blessing. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 18. I want to share with you this. And we're going to I just want to show with you, because I found this very interesting in understanding the blessing. And I'm going to share verse 18. We're going to just start reading in verse 18. And it says, and the sons of Noah that went forth from the ark with Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. There are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husband and planted in a vineyard. Now he drank of wine and was drunken and was unable to cover himself in his tent. And Ham and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took the garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what was what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, and the servant of servants shall ye be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So in other words, now he's passing on the blessing. He says, blessed be the God of Lord God of Shem. Canaan shall be his servant, and so on and so on. Verse 29, and all the days of Noah were 959 years, and he died. The blessing was transferred from Noah. God gave the blessing to Noah. Now Noah transfers the blessing over to his son Shem. Now, let's go on. We're going to get back into that in just a second. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 14. Now, we all know about Melchizedek. I want to understand the blessing connection. The Melchizedek. Now, many times we'll read the Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7, and he says he was without father, without mother, and so on. And we kind of make the assumption that's Jesus. But it says Jesus came after the order of Melchizedek. He was Melchizedek came, he was so in tune with God, spent so much time with God, that he came in the pattern that Jesus would follow. God put the seed already in the earth through Melchizedek, because I'm going to show you in just a moment. And Jesus, when Jesus came, he followed the pattern of Melchizedek, that it says that Jesus was under the order of Melchizedek. It says in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17, Genesis chapter 14, verse 17, and it says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet after the return of the slaughter of the Chedorlaomers and the kings that were in the valley of Seveh." I'm probably massacring these words. "When the king, which is the king of Dales," and now listen to this, "and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." What is he showing forth already? The body and the blood. We're going to partake of that today. What is Melchizedek already showing to Abram? He's showing forth, he's coming in the order. Melchizedek, the high priest, is coming forth, and he's already showing, he's already, in other words, he's prophesying already, showing forth the pattern that Jesus would come and give of his body and the blood. But it goes on to say, "And Melchizedek brought forth the bread and the wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he what? And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Now, oh, Abraham just got a shock. He says, what? Melchizedek spoke the blessing over him to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, to overcome. He spoke that blessing over Abraham. And he says, now you are blessed to be the possessor of heaven and earth. Oh, that sounds good. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7 and let's see what that says about it for a second. That's why I'm trying to go through this quite quick. I'm watching time for you. Hebrews chapter 7, I'm going to just start reading verse 1. "And for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, went to meet Abraham, returning of the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him." Going down to verse 6, "And he who descended not and counted from the received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. And without all these contradictions, the less was blessed of the better." Understand this. Do you know who Melchizedek was? Melchizedek was the only person who could transfer the blessing. The only person who could transfer the blessing. Now, when it describes Melchizedek, he was without father, without mother, and so on, because Shem was so old, was so gone to the place where nobody, you know, they didn't even see his background anymore. They saw Melchizedek. Shem was engulfed in the understanding of who Melchizedek was. Melchizedek was the son of Noah, Shem, because remember we said, God blessed Noah. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. God then, in turn, blessed Shem. The same blessing. And then in turn, now, Abraham comes with the tenth of the spoils, the tithe of the spoils, and he, in turn, gives the tithe unto Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, the only person who on the earth could have the lineage of the blessing, in turn, gives the blessing to Abraham. There's a blessing connection. Did you know that the tithe is important? The Bible calls the tithe holy. Do you know that the word is holy? God stands by his word. You speak the word and you confess the word, you stand upon the word. God abides by his word because it's holy. But then you come to the place where we start to understand that that very thing, the tithe, is just as holy. If God esteems something holy, we need to see it and esteem it also as being holy unto the Lord. That's why now we confess over our tithe every time. We worship and thank God when we tithe because it's become holy unto us. And a lot of times people say, well, the tithe has been passed away by the law. The law has been fulfilled, and they tithed in the law. Yes, they tithed in the law, but the tithe transcended the law. The law came about when Moses, between God and Moses, but the tithe was already in action. It was already evident before Moses came along. So the tithe transcends the law. The law came and it left. We are living in grace and love now, but still the tithe is still being fulfilled today. Amen? We can even go back and see in the beginning where God has even represented the tithe in the Garden of Eden. He says, you can have all this, but do not touch this tree. A representation of the tithe. And what did Satan do? He wanted to deceive them to touch. The only thing God says, hey, you know, it's not time, but just this is mine. It's holy unto me. Remember when Uzziah was walking beside the ark and the oxen lost its footing and the ark almost fell and Uzziah steadied the ark, but as soon as he steadied the ark, he died. And many times we'll hear preachers say, you cannot do this. And God was angry at Uzziah and all these things. But here's what really happened was your natural flesh cannot touch what is holy. God didn't want Uzziah dead. Uzziah did a good thing. But it came to the place where his natural body could not touch the pure essence, pure spirit of God. But we're going to fast forward in just a moment. But do you get the understanding of that connection with the blessing? What the blessing is, be fruitful. You know, when bless you. What do? We just belittled the blessing. God sees the blessing as something of power, of something of significance that, hey, I put the blessing on this earth so that my people will multiply, will increase. They will be in abundance. They will replenish, recover, and they will subdue and have dominion. That's the blessing. Achoo. Bless you. We just belittled the blessing. But now when I go around and say, bless you, it means something to me. I'm saying, be fruitful. Multiply. I'm coming up when we're shaking hands and saying, bless you. In other words, I'm saying, be fruitful. Multiply. Subdue. Have dominion. And I'm saying it every time. I'm blessing you with the blessing of the Lord. Be fruitful. Multiply. Subdue. Have dominion. Oh, it starts to mean something more when you start to go out and be a blessing to others. And then God starts to see who he can flow his blessing through. Amen? So we talked about the blessing, and I went 15 minutes. Let's go on. But it gets even better. It gets even better, I promise you. So now in Genesis 12, 1 to 4, I'm just going to share this. This is just the blessing of Abraham. And it says, Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and out of the kindred of the father's house into the land I show you. And he says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing and I will bless them that bless thee, curse thee that curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families on the earth be blessed. The blessing of Abraham. That's good news. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy 28, I'm not going to read it all, but you understand what the blessing is. He says, all these blessings shall overtake thee if you hearken diligently to the word of the Lord, to the name of the Lord. He says, you'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field, blessed in Walmart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody, yeah, I want to be blessed in Walmart. I start to say, oh, wait a minute. Because we think Walmart is the greatest and we all shop at Walmart, but let's think a little bit bigger. I said because I told Trace I'm going to bless her this year and it's going to take some work to get there, but I said, I'm going to bless you this year, babe. Oh, I didn't say that out loud. I said, I'm going to bless you this year. I said, you know, she got blessed at Christmas time from the Coach store and things of that, and all the women know. Most of the women know Coach purses and jewelry and stuff. So we had an awesome time blessing. I said, well, I want to be blessed coming in, blessed being out, and I want to be a blessing to you in Louis Vuitton. Do you know how much those cost? Some people will say, that's a waste, but it's a blessing to me. I can bless my wife. I want to do that. I feel in my spirit, I want to do that. And I said, this year, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to bless you there. Why not? Why not? Amen? Why not? Oh, that's materialism, blah, blah, blah. Well, God's not against you having things, but it's when things have you. Let's go on, Pastor Murray. I got to stay up here. I told Justin this is further throwing distance, so you don't throw things at me. But he says you'll be blessed coming in, blessed going out. This is the blessing. Amen. I mean, you can read that. That sounds awesome and all. Well, did Jesus walk in the blessing? Well, I'm not even going to turn. I'm just going to share this with you. Jesus walked in the blessing. Remember, the multitudes were following him. I'm going to try to clue this up really quick. The multitudes were following him, and they had nothing to eat. And Jesus started to get to a place where he says, well, what do they have to eat? And they brought 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And what did Jesus do? He took the 2 fishes, 5 loaves, read it in Luke chapter 6, 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and he took it, he blessed it. There were 5,000 men, plus some of them had families, kids, and they're all following Jesus, and he took these 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and he took it, and he understood the blessing of the Lord, and he blessed it. And he break it, and he said, distribute it. Understand, I heard somebody just shared today on my Facebook. He says, you know, the blessing of the Lord will make you get to the place where you'll need staff to take out the blessing to the people. And what did the disciples do? They took it, and they went out with these baskets, and then people started to take. And it says they were all satisfied. They were all full. How many know one plate with some of you? It ain't going to do it. We need one more than one. Amen? Amen. All amen?
Amen, yeah. Yeah.
So I just okayed double eating. But it's a blessing, though. But we come to the place where they ate and they ate, and 5,000 plus people were filled because of the blessing. Jesus walked in the blessing. That's why I said, why can't we purchase somebody a new car? I've given away, we've received a car, and we've given a car, a van. And we come to the place where, why can't we come to the place where we got to build our faith to where it's there, but I'm getting the mentality, nothing's too small, too big for God. All things are possible. It's us to study, to show thyself approved. We got to get into the word. We got to apply it, and we got to step it out by faith. When you give of your tithe, that is an act of faith. You're believing that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. You say, I'm tithing. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. He says, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will pour you out a blessing. Do you know, it says, the only other place where it talks about the windows of opening being, or the windows of heaven being opening, is when God flooded the earth. So you got to think, how big are those windows, man? And the water's pouring out, the rain pouring out of the windows of heaven to fill this entire earth. Well, God says, I'm going to open up these windows and pour you out a blessing. The tithe is the connection to open those windows so God can pour you out a blessing. But the offering, it says in Malachi chapter 3, he says that you have robbed me in tithes and offering. The offering is what brings increase. He says, God is not mocked, for those who sow, they shall reap. Amen? He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. He just asks you to do one thing. He says, let me take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. Amen. oh, you haven't got it yet, because I'm going to get you excited just in a second, okay? Okay? Can you hold on just for a moment? So now, he goes on to say in Galatians 3, 11 and 14, the tithe would not be as much if we could not access what Jesus paid for. I always like to say this, and you guys have been hearing about grace for the last little bit, but say, faith accesses what grace has provided. Faith accesses what grace has provided, our inheritance. But he says in Galatians 3, 11 and 14, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The law is not faith, but the man that worketh them, the law, shall live by them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the what? The blessing of Abraham that received it from Melchizedek, that the blessing from Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus walked in the blessing. So now he came and gave his life upon the cross so that you could receive the blessing. But the blessing connection comes in when we tithe, the windows of heaven are open, and God pours out the blessing upon your seed you have sown. I love your envelopes. I've been here for so long, and finally I read your envelope, and it says a seed envelope, whatever it said, a seed envelope. I never noticed that before, but all of a sudden, God wants to pour out, and I started to think, what is that blessing? What is God pouring out upon your seed to make it, to multiply, to become abundantly, which you can think or imagine? He's pouring out God is a miracle God, amen? And he wants it to grow, so he's pouring out his blessing, his miracle grow, his spiritual miracle grow upon your seed. Now, with this understanding, we come to the place where, hallelujah. Now, when I sow seed, I come to the understanding that I tithe, I'm a tither, and I confess over that, and I do that because I cannot give the tithe to God. Listen, can I see your... This is a nice woman's devotional Bible. It's nice. Who would like this Bible? Somebody here would like this Bible? Anybody? You would like this Bible? You? Well, I can't give it to her. It was already hers. Understand? I can't give her Bible back because it's already hers. But I just returned it unto her. What does God ask you to do with the tithe? You can't give God the tithe because it's already his. The tithe is the Lord's. We are just returning what he has blessed us with and saying, God, I bless you. I just return what you have blessed me with. I return unto you. But now, Father God, because I have returned the tithe, the tenth, the maser in Hebrew, the tenth unto you, now I go beyond that and I sow seed, my offering. And this is where the abundance comes in. The tithe opens the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing. It backs the enemy away from your... He says that now he will not devour your things. Read Malachi chapter 3:10. He says he'll back away the devourer. So your appliances work longer. Your car works longer because you are a tither. God is rebuking the devourer for your sake. Because you're a tither. But then he goes on. He says, then when you give... You sow seed, it will come 30, 60, 100 fold. I mean, I love the 100 fold. God wants you blessed. Amen? Who is going to fund this end time revival? When when scores of people are coming to Napanee because there is such a revival happening in Napanee, and people are coming from Belleville and Kingston, and they're coming and they're flooding this town, and you got nowhere to meet, and who is going to look after the rental of the biggest auditorium in this town because for months on end? Who's going to do that? You think some businessman's going to say, I'll do that, maybe for a day. But God needs his people blessed to fund this end time revival. I'm going to end with this because I know my cue when the kids come back. Hurry it up. Now, can I get you excited? How many's been through a lot? Hallelujah. We've all been through a lot in one way or another. If it's battling sickness, we are still standing. I love the scripture that says, no matter what, you know, in Ephesians, when you've done all to stand, stand. You know? Sometimes it seems difficult, and sometimes it seems like when the hardest hit, you just want to give up and give in. But I want to tell you, when the hardest hit comes, you have to know that's the devil's best hit he has. But you still stand. Look at Job. And I'm going to close with this. Then we're going to go to receive the Lord's table. Look at Job. Look at all the things that Job went through. Lost his family, lost all he had, but he lost everything. A lot of us could say, you know, I'm kind of right there with Job. I've been fighting, but it seems like it's too hard. But here's where the blessing comes in. The last chapter of Job, verse 12, chapter 42, verse 12, it says, "And the Lord blessed." He what? He blessed. Whenever I see the blessing in the Bible now, it means to multiply, to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, to replenish, have dominion. After everything that Job went through, the hell on earth, he said, it went on to say, Job, in other words, Job still stood. He didn't give up, he didn't give in. But it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses." It says, "And he also 7 sons and 3 daughters." And it goes on to say their names in verse 14. Verse 15, "And all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job." That's not a Disney tale. You know, we always think of the Disney movies, the fairest of the land. God blessed Job to the place where his daughters were the fairest of the land. Amen? And it goes on to say, "After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Job lived in divine health." He was blessed in health. He had all these, the camel and oxen and so on. He was blessed in wealth. And it says, "So Job died being old and full of days." How many know there's a lot of people on this earth that die not full of days? But when we understand the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, he addeth no sorrow. Money is just, it's not just about money, because we know, you probably read in the newspapers, there are millionaires committing suicide, they got money. But God says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It's the blessing that makes rich. Rich in health, rich in wealth, rich in family, in all that you are. But he says he adds no sorrow to it. No sorrow. Are you excited today? I love the blessing of the Lord. It means something when I, like I said, I bless you, sister. Bless you, brother. I'm thinking by faith, by the Holy Spirit, I said, God, let me be a bearer of the blessing so I can release it. It's one thing to have faith. A lot of people, I have faith. I got faith. I have faith, brother. I have faith. That's the problem. You have faith. You need to release it. Release faith. Step out. Amen? Did you get something from that today? Yeah, I don't like the whole money issue. I like poverty. I like disease. I don't mind it so much, you know. I just kind of snuggle up to it at night, and it keeps me warm, and, you know, oh, I want to be a blessing. I need full of days, because there is a call upon my life. There is a call upon your life that you need fullness of days to accomplish what God has for you. And that's where the blessing comes in. You are blessed coming in. You're blessed going out. You're blessed in the storehouse. You're blessed in the field. Whatever you set your hand to do is blessed. It shall prosper, the Bible says. Hallelujah. I'm blessed in my family. Oh, hallelujah. I'm blessed in my family. And I know you are too. Even when it doesn't seem like it, even when it seems like you don't have family members in this place, you go to them and say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. They have no idea what you're talking about. But you know, and by faith, you're speaking something of significance upon their life, and it starts to work on the inside of them. That now something's drawing them to come to church and hear the words of life. You're blessing them. You say, Father God, I look at my bank and I say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. And then we go on and we start to be a blessing. It may start by buying somebody a meal. Then it may start by buying somebody something of significance. And then it goes on from there. And the blessing starts to cultivate. People, you guys, I know you missions. You're sending the blessing. You know, we visited a church in Kenya. I was there 2 years ago, and we support them. And they had no light when I was there. It was just the building, no electricity. We started to support them. They got electricity. They got lights. They built a fence. I was like, oh, well, what else can you do? Well, I started to think, it's just not money. Money will come and money will go, but if you send the blessing, it will multiply. It will produce. This year, I have the awesome opportunity to go to Zimbabwe. I'm going there with the president of FCF. We're going. I'm going to share the blessing. Say, you can't talk about prosperity in a third world country. Well, why are you calling it a third world country? It is just the same as you are. It's the same earth. God will move. I'm not putting God in a box. I'm saying, God, you can do well beyond what we think or can imagine. If we just listen and obey and step out by faith, and God will do the rest. Amen? Amen.